Thank you, thank you. Please be seated. Please be seated. Thank you, Ralph. Great, great, great. Great to sing praises to our God, isn't it?
Yes.
We sing praises to Him. We love Him. We love His Word. We love this family that we're in. It's just a great day to be alive. From what I look at outside, the fog is lifting, folks. The fog is lifting. And that's a great thing. Well, we're here today to look into this wonderful verse. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As I was thinking on this verse this past week, I thought of a retemery that we did many years ago. In fact, let's just turn to it in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, please. You know, some of these things stick with you for a lifetime. I remember learning this verse, oh boy, I hate to say how long ago. But God is good, His word is great, and I am blessed. I'm going to turn on my little technical achievement here in Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to start this morning in verse 28. Isaiah is speaking, of course, and says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord Yahweh, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is unending. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And those who wait upon the Lord, who look to Him for strength, for guidance, as we trust in Him, in His Word, in all that He's provided, His provision, with great faith, great confidence, great trust. This is how you and I wait on the Lord. It is not a passive thing where we just sit back and, okay, we're waiting, like you're waiting for a bus or something on the bus stop. That's not what this is implying. The verse says, wait on Yahweh and be of good courage. We're going to look at this waiting and what it is to wait on the Lord. But keep in mind, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. How many have ever seen an eagle in flight up close? I've never seen it up close, but I've seen it from a distance. The wingspan is enormous, bold, majestic. It's like between 6 and 8 feet. Strong. Powerful. To look at it is just, it's in awe. The strength of this bird and the power and the grace in which it glides. Well, those that wait upon the Lord will glide like the eagle with the strength of Yahweh as they underneath their wings. Remember that song, "The Wind Beneath My Wings"?
Yes.
Yahweh is the wind beneath our wings. Those that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. God encourages, God strengthens. That's why we can be of good courage, because this waiting on the Lord, our trust, our faith, and our confidence in Him gives us those wings like an eagle. And it's a wonderful thing. Let's look at another familiar verse. Go to Proverbs, please. Proverbs 3. Familiar verses of Scripture, but yet so powerful. Proverbs chapter 3, we all been here, we all know it. Some of us can recite it by heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight and will direct your steps. We ought to have faith, confidence, and trust that God will provide for us. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. God's provision, I believe, is outlined in his promises. His provision for your life and mine, as we trust in him and lean not to our understanding, but look to what he has provided, to what he has promised. This is how we wait on the Lord. And we can do that with great courage. And as we do, he strengthens us. He strengthens us. Acknowledge him in all of our ways. By acknowledging and experiencing God's provision in our lives, I believe, gives us the ability to wait on the Lord. Our waiting is built on trust. Trust in God's provision. Trust in the promises that he has given us. This is what it is. As we think on these things, we acknowledge God through his word, through his promises. This is how we wait on the Lord. It's not blind. It's not something that we do with no thought. It's not a passive thing. It's an active thing. Waiting is action. It's active. And it requires us to have action in our lives. It requires us to go to him, go to his word, understand what he has provided, understand what he has promised. And we could do that with great courage. And when we do, he'll strengthen us. He will strengthen us, like it said in Isaiah. Let's look in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, about what it is we ought to think while we are waiting on the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 4, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say what? Rejoice. Twice. Rejoice. Rejoicing is acknowledging. "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." We ought to be anxious, or the King James says, careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Our prayer and our supplication acknowledges God's ability to provide for us. As we acknowledge God, acknowledging his ability to provide for us, ladies and gentlemen, we are waiting on the Lord. His promises and his provision comes to those who wait on him. He gives us the strength to endure. He gives us the strength to have something to hold on to. And when we do this, we mount up with wings like the eagle. It is a great and marvelous thing to understand what God has provided for us and what he has promised us. Look at verse 8. "Finally, brethren," want to know what to think about? "Whatsoever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is to be any excellence in anything worthy of praise, we ought to" what? "Dwell" or think "on these things." These are the things that we're to think about. These are the things that we are to meditate and go over in our minds. This is how we acknowledge God in our lives. This is how you and I wait on the Lord. It's not something that's of no thought. There's great meaning. There's great heart. There's great purpose in our waiting on the Lord. It requires action. It requires us to engage with our God, engage in His provision, engage in His promises. And when we do that with great courage, He'll strengthen us, make us strong, able to endure, able to overcome. But it's an action that you and I must take. It's something that we must do. Verse 9, Paul writes to the Philippians, the things you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me, practice or do, and the God of peace will be what? With you. The God of peace will be with you. We are to practice these things, meditate them, rehearse them in our minds. Like I said, that verse, Isaiah 40, I learned that verse I don't know how many years ago, but to this day, I still remember it word for word. I meditate on it. I think about what God has done for me. We ought to have this word of God in our hearts and in our minds, rehearsed and gone through over and over. You know, it's always the fundamentals in life that make the game or make the great success of anything that we do. We cannot learn the fundamentals too much. The foundational things of God, studying His Word, applying it, renewing our minds, putting this Word on in our heart, rehearsing it, dwelling upon it. By doing all these things, relying on Him, knowing He's going to provide. You want to know what it is to wait on the Lord? That's it. It's really very simple, but yet we run right over it. Wait on the Lord. Yeah, okay, wait on the Lord. Yeah. You know, how many times we read certain scriptures, we just run right over them. We don't really take time to think about what they're saying. Let the word speak to your heart. Let it gel within your soul. Understand what God is communicating. All this, by the way, is the behavior of a real believer. The behavior of a real believer rehearses this in his heart and in his mind. Let's go to 2 Peter. We'll look a little bit more at some of this. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. Peter's writing here to the men and women in front of him. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Got to read that a little slow because this is so huge. This is so big. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Verse 4. For by these He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the world through lusts. Now, for this very reason, apply also diligence in your faith. Diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in self-control, perseverance, and in perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain your calling and choosing, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. This outlines the behavior that we ought to have as believers. And as we practice and we rehearse these things in our minds, we are acknowledging God. And by acknowledging and experience God's provision in our lives gives us the ability to wait on the Lord. I want to read that again to you. By acknowledging and experiencing God's provision in our lives gives us the ability to wait on the Lord. It only comes by way of recognizing who you are in Christ, recognizing His provision for you, recognizing the promises that He has made to you, understanding and realize that He's giving you everything that pertains to life and godliness, that we don't lack anything. Ephesians says we have been born or blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. By acknowledging this, by taking this to heart, believing it, making it the believer's behavior, this is what it is to wait on the Lord. A little quick PowerPoint. That's what it is to wait on the Lord, to understand His provision, His promises, and what He has guaranteed in His word. We have the right and the ability to wait on the Lord and to do it with great courage, because we are part of His divine nature when we do this. Okay? Look at verse 12 and 13 of that section. It's really interesting because Peter says, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of remembrance." And it's kind of like what we're doing here today, isn't it? Kind of reminding each other, bringing each other into remembrance of what God has provided and all that His provision is for us, that everything that pertains to life and godliness is ours. We lack nothing. He has given us all spiritual blessings in everything. We can rely on Him and wait on Him with great courage, and He will strengthen us. But we must realize that it emanates and it starts with understanding His provision within the promises of His word. There's an interesting... Go to Psalm, please. Psalm 1. It talked about meditating and dwelling on these things. Psalm chapter 1. I want to read you some of these great psalms that talk about meditating and what it is to dwell on this word of God that we have. And it's Psalm chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "How blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh. And His law he meditates," what? "Day and night." He dedicates his life and meditates on the word day and night. "He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither." And ladies and gentlemen, "in it, whatever he does, he prospers." How many want prosperity? How many want great results in their lives? Dwell on these things. Rehearse these in your mind. Meditate on them day and night. It is life. The very life that you and I have is available through this process. Go to Psalm 119, a tremendous chapter. In each verse of this wonderful psalm, it talks about the Word of God. And in verse 15 of Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, "I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word." I will meditate on your precepts. Look down at verse 36, another great section. "Incline my heart to your statutes and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways." I think about the eagle and how we are renewed by the eagle, right? We're renewed. That's what it is to be revived. "Establish your word to your servant, as to which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness." Twice, revive me. "May your loving kindness," verse 41, "also come to me, O Yahweh, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances." Waiting on the Lord is wrapped up all about understanding the promises and what God has provided. Verse 44, "I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts, I seek your word. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate. I will meditate on your statutes." And that's what you and I have to do. We must meditate on what God has provided. Meditate on his provision and not take it for granted. Day and night, the psalmist says, he's considered the statutes, everything, the word, the commandments, the promises. That's what it is to wait on the Lord. We have to run it through our heart, through our mind, all the time. He is provided. His promises will never fail. They're for sure. A great example of this, which we all know, is a man by the name of Joshua. And I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we're going to look at this tremendous man and what was before him and how he was able to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and allow God to strengthen him. And again, as we meditate on God's word and his promises, acknowledging his provision in our lives, we can be of good courage. And in Deuteronomy chapter 31, we're going to start in verse 6. Actually, let's start in verse 1. "So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old. I am no longer able to come and go, and Yahweh has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is Yahweh your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispose them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as Yahweh has spoken. And the Lord Yahweh will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and in the land where he had destroyed them. The Lord Yahweh will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you." Verse 6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for Yahweh your God is the one who goes before you. He will not fail you or forsake you. And God is still going before us today. He is not changed. He is the one who goes before us. We can have great courage and great peace of mind and great heart because Yahweh, our God, goes before us. Verse 7, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which Yahweh has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And then Yahweh is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Ladies and gentlemen, God goes before us today. He is with us wherever we go. It is God in Christ in you. We have nothing to fear. The only thing we must do is wait on Him. Acknowledge Him. He's provided. He's given us His word. He's given us of His promises. And you and I must go before Him with great courage, and He will strengthen the heart. He will make us strong. He'll renew that like the eagle. We'll mount up with wings like the eagle. We'll run and not be weary, and we won't faint. But we must wait on Him. We must wait on Him with great courage, just as they had the word of God before them to go and not be dismayed. And they had a lot to fear. If you looked at it from a five senses point of view, look at Joshua. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Let's look at this for a moment. Joshua chapter 1, a couple of books over, right? Actually, the next book. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, saying, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Hard statement. I remember that from a long time ago. One of the hardest statements in the Bible. Moses, my servant, is dead. He was the man. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I have spoken to Moses. From the wilderness to this Lebanon, even as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. They had a choice. They were either going to believe these promises, believe what God has provided, or look at the circumstances around them and say, we can't do this. But you know what they decided to do? Wait on the Lord. They acknowledged God's promise. They acknowledged His provision with great courage. And who strengthened them? Yahweh. Yahweh gave them the strength, the courage to do what was before them, because physically and militarily, read it, it was not happening. In fact, the first record of what Joshua did was go before Jericho, march around that city, and on the seventh day after the seventh march, they shouted with a great shout, and the walls came a-tumbling down. Where do you find that in the military manual?
Nowhere.
They waited on Yahweh. They believed Him. They took Him at His word with great courage. Look at verse 6. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and what? Very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do what the word says to do. Do what I promised. Do what I said I would provide. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. To acknowledge God is to wait on the Lord. Do not turn from the right or to the left. Why? So that you may have success wherever you go. You want success? You want prosperity? Wait on the Lord. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written, for you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. You want prosperity. You want success. I do. Wait on the Lord. In verse 9, just in case you forgot, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or dismay, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. And ladies and gentlemen, today, with God in Christ in you, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you, you have everything that it takes to be prosperous and successful, to be healthy, of a sound mind. What is it that stops us? We're looking at the behavior of a believer. It takes waiting on the Lord with courage, and he will strengthen the heart. Joshua did it when it was impossible to do. But he realized that his strength was not his. His confidence came from Yahweh. And that's the way you and I must draw our confidence, our behavior as believers today, is to look to him, to his provision. Don't look at the circumstances around you. Remember Peter walking on the water? He did real good, didn't he? Until what? He saw the wind and the waves and, Lord, help me! And the Lord picked him up. And what did the Lord say to him? O ye of little faith. Faith, confidence, and trust. This is what it is and what it takes to wait on the Lord. He will provide, and he will not let you sink. He'll pick you up and keep you on your way. I want to go to one more section as well, maybe two. Matthew. Let's look in Matthew. In all light of all this, Matthew chapter 6. We must choose to wait on Yahweh, acknowledging his promises and provision with great courage, and he will strengthen the heart. Or give in to the negative circumstances that surround everyday situations. Choice. Always a matter of choice. What are we looking at? What are we dwelling on? What are we meditating on? We know what the psalmist said to meditate on. Same message. Hadn't changed. Matthew chapter 6, please. Going to start in verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will devote to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. For is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And by the way, the answer to that is yes. I don't care what environmentalists may say or this group may say. It's what the Word says, and I'm going to go with what God says. Verse 27, and who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? This is what not to do when you're waiting on the Lord. These are the things you don't do. Meditate on what He has promised. Meditate on His provision. That's what we do. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. And if you ever want to know how rich or how much he had, go back and read it sometime. It's pretty astounding when you think about it. Verse 30 says, but if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? There's the challenge. There's the challenge. Are we of little faith? Or do we really believe what this says? Do we really believe God and take him at his word? Wait. Wait on the Lord. This PowerPoint thing, John, is great. Verse 32. Well, the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of them. By the way, the Gentiles here, it's the unbelieving. Just substitute that word. For the unbelieving easily seek these things. Those who don't know God. Those who don't believe his word. Those who don't want to know God. Those who don't want to know his provision and his word. But that's not you or I, is it? And we come to this great verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that is the choice that we face today. You and I, as we seek God, his word, his provision, his promises, and we go forth waiting on the Lord with great courage, he will strengthen, he will deliver, he will heal. He will take care of you because he goes before you, he is in you, and he loves you and wants nothing but the best for you. Amen?
Amen.
God bless. Thank you.